Thank you for inviting us to be with you today. I really love the video that we were able to share because you get a glimpse into the world of campus ministry. And so we really appreciate that you're allowing us to share that with you today. I'd like to begin this morning by returning to our scripture reading from the book of Acts. This powerful passage offers a glimpse into the earliest expressions of what would come to be known as the Jesus movement, and referred to at many times as the Way. It's important to remember the context in which this movement emerged, one of the most turbulent and oppressive periods in history. Jerusalem was under Roman occupation, and Jesus of Nazareth, the long-awaited Messiah, had just been killed by the empire. In seminary, we often reflected on what these days must have felt like for his followers. The death of Jesus would have been much more than just a moment of personal grief. It would have been the collapse of their hope, the unraveling of the mission that they had given their lives to, the weight of loss and confusion and despair must have been overwhelming. At times I wonder if we can relate to that. And yet, just 40 days after the death of Jesus, and only 10 days after his ascension, something miraculous happened. Pentecost. The Spirit of God descended upon the disciples and empowered and emboldened them. What followed was nothing short of extraordinary. Over 3,000 people were baptized that day, becoming part of this growing movement of faith, hope, and radical love. Our passage today captures the beauty of what unfolded next. It paints a picture of community rooted in shared life, mutual aid, and love for your neighbor. It invites us to consider, what does it mean to be the church? What does it mean to love your neighbor? I don't know if Pastor Kristen had a chance to tell you that we had some sort of miraculous things happening when we were planning today. I am doing a sermon series with the same scripture each church that we visit so that I don't have to rewrite a sermon every time. Because as you can see, I have my hands full on the video. And so I told her and that we had these scriptures, and she says, well, we're doing Tell Me Something Good as our Lenten theme. And I said, so are we. And she says, well, your scriptures fit our theme for this week really well. And I agree with her, and I was blown away when I read the liturgy for this week. I want to share this poem from the Tell Me Something Good series. It is written by Reverend Sarah Speed, and it is called If God Lived Next Door. If God lived next door, I'd drop off a loaf of bread. I'd use my mom's best recipe. I'd wrap it in parchment and ribbon and place it on the front stoop. If God lived next door, I'd leave a note with my phone number. Call anytime you need anything. I'm always happy to help. If God lived next door, I'd keep sugar on the shelf just in case she needed a cup. I'd put a picnic table in the front yard and begin taking my coffee there. Whenever God passed by with their gaggle of rescue dogs, I would say, want to sit for a moment? Want to rest your legs? I'd keep a jar of dog treats and water in the mailbox and change my doormat to one that says, all are welcome here. I'd invite God over for dinner. She'd bring bread and juice. I'd host a block party so that everyone could meet her. I'd start a community garden so that the kids could run between the rows of squash and tomatoes while we adults put our hands in the dirt. We'd share stories while we weeded and eat harvest meals at the end of the season. If God lived next door, I'd want to build something beautiful. Then again, who says she doesn't? I almost started crying again when I read this poem, because I don't know if you saw in the video, but you know, we have a picnic table in the front yard, and we have a community garden. And we just installed a food pantry, and now I definitely want to put a dog bowl of water outside, because I'm so inspired and so honored to be a part of something that is living as if God lived next door. Our theme for our school year is love your neighbor. And our intention for this theme is to go beyond like our comfort zones of loving our neighbors, you know, like partnering with the campus ministry next door. We want to go outside of our comfort zones. As Latin American liberation theologian Gustavo Gutierrez encouraged the church to be a neighboring church. So to neighbor as a verb, and it means to go further than what you would normally do. So in the spirit of being a neighbor or being a neighboring church, over the last few years, we have gone a little bit further. We've been practicing those neighboring muscles, right? So we held sacred listening sessions with the Palestinian camp at UNM so that we could understand where they were coming from without responding. And we hosted a Get to Know Your Neighbor walk with the Hillel House, which is our Jewish campus ministry, or Jewish student organization at UNM. We attend each year now the Ramadan dinner, the iftar dinner, with our Muslim neighbors at the Raindrop Foundation. And these are some of the ways that we have been sort of stretching those neighboring muscles. We just recently installed our food pantry that starts really amazing conversations with folks if you get to sit out at the picnic table and hang out. We did plant a fig tree in our community garden as well this year. And then we bought hundreds of whistles, little security whistles. And we hand those out on campus and at churches, and we're teaching folks how to love your neighbor by maybe letting them know that ICE is in the Target parking lot. And we are encouraging people to learn how to blow a whistle just to let your neighbor know that they might be in danger. We're hosting Know Your Rights workshops on a rotating basis. And we're just reaching out and trying to keep taking steps further at being a neighbor. And we're finding ourselves both living into this Christian community together and building community by loving our neighbors. And we have something good to tell you. So one of the things that we are really focusing on and asking people, one of the big questions we get is, how can we support you? We love your prayers and we love your financial help, but we want to tell you good stories. We have a quarterly newsletter that we put out that has stories from the students themselves that tells you how all of these activities that we are doing impacts them. And our latest news story talks, Claudia talks about how just coming and having dinner with us every Thursday evening, she's a PhD student here at UNM, has taught her that her LGBTQIA siblings are simply people who want to be loved. And that is not how she started when she started coming to dinner. And you can learn about Joan, who is a trans woman who talks about how living somewhere where you feel safe and accepted is a rare gem for a trans woman. And she can flourish in the rest of her life because she has a place to feel safe and at home. And you can learn about Carter, who finds comfort in the fact that she does not have to participate when she comes to dinner. She is neurodivergent and she feels overwhelmed, as we all do, by college. And we have a set of comfy chairs near the table that we call our socially adjacent chairs. And you can hang out there, and I won't ask you any questions, but you can still be a part of the group. And Carter loves that, and that's all in our brand new letter. And every month we release a story. Tell me something good about how your campus ministry is affecting people and how it's moving out into their lives. So the ways that we ask for you to support us today is to pick up some good stories and to sign up so that we can keep sending you these good stories. Thank you so much for allowing us to be neighbors with you. And we hope that you can come and visit. I'll be in the fellowship hall after service. Amen. Amen.